The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Cat Attack Podcast, round 11 style, Kerr's Hire style. The Cats went 8-3 in what was fair to say a game that, if you had taken the DVD into the AFL, you would have just said, look, can you file this in the bin? It wasn't great to watch, was it? It was actually putrid, but the Cats got the 4 points.
The second half was horrible. The first half wasn't too bad. See, it's really interesting. If Collingwood kicked straight instead of the copious amount of behinds, there might have actually been a bit more intensity in the game, but you always felt that Geelong would just look, we'll just go through the motions here, we'll get the 4 points. My worry is that Geelong have got to be careful in those games, that Geelong have been very good over the last 15 years at flicking the switch, but they can't keep playing these ordinary sides and not playing with any real purpose. North Melbourne, similar sort of game. Gold Coast, similar sort of game. They don't destroy... See, Geelong, you look at Geelong and their plus minus, they very rarely put sides away, a bad side away. They seem to put away Richmond and West Coast by big margins, but yeah. How often do we see them put away Gold Coast by a massive margin or North Melbourne by a massive margin?
Yeah, not often. And one of the reasons, though, potentially for that is that those sides are playing a very defensive game to keep themselves in it. And Geelong can sometimes
be dragged...
But other
teams seem to be able to put them away.
Dragged down to their level a little bit.
Brisbane Lions...
Bulldogs.
Brisbane Lions put away Gold Coast to the tune of 12 goals.
Bulldogs.
Yeah, North Melbourne gets put away.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I think also too, your long season, you're going to win games ugly. And the more games... If you can win five or six games in a pretty ugly sort of fashion, even seven... Mm.
It's seven wins you have.
Well, that's the difference between being, 16 and 6
yep.
or 10 and 12.
Yep.
Geelong were never going to, I don't think Geelong were ever going to lose against Collingwood.
No.
Collingwood, they padded the stats late
yep.
with a few sausage rolls that made the scoreboard look a little bit more respectable, but they were you never thought Geelong were going to lose.
See, when the Cats got out to about 28 points, I think it was midway through the last, I thought they might go and kick three or four more here and this will end up being a 45, 50-point win, and that's not a bad result.
But got a bye now, Kingy.
Geelong
don't go well with buys. And then they're going to have... The other thing, too, is that they're going to have a lot of changes for that game against Port Adelaide, which it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah,
there's Dangerfield in, Duncan in, Cam Guthrie back in, Blitzarves back in.
O'Connor.
Would O'Connor get straight back in, or could he play in the Scooby-Doos? Would they be reticent to make five changes?
Well, the issue is there going to be Scooby-Doos for them to play?
Well, I just don't know whether they put O'Connor in. Who's coming out?
Right. Zach Guthrie's probably
your
first out.
Yes, correct.
Right. Grime Myers is the other one that will be sniffed.
They wouldn't make six. Let's say they make four.
Yep.
Let's say they decide to leave O'Connor and Myers out, or play in the twos, or whatever they're going to do. So they bring in Dangerfield, Duncan, Blitzarves, Guthrie.
Yep.
Zach Guthrie comes out. Who else comes out?
Good question.
Reece Stanley?
Yeah.
Not because he played poorly.
Or Radigalea.
Yeah, one of those two.
Yep.
I just think that Radigalea is probably more versatile. He's playing forward, and they like his aggressiveness when he plays in the ruck. So that's why I think that they probably would go with Stanley out. Knock Stanley played quite well against Collingwood. He certainly... I mean, he didn't star, but he wasn't their worst player, and he held his own. So it's basically just because Blitzarves is back in, and that's the ruck combination they'd had for the previous 4 or 5 weeks. So Stanley comes out. So there's two. Stanley, Zach Guthrie. Who are the other two?
Is Dalhouse in trouble?
Well, yeah, I'd say on form, yes, but I seem to like what he does, and he's a bit of a terrier. But Dangerfield, we heard it from Matthew Knights about 2 weeks ago. When I asked the question I asked it politely. I was basically saying, have you got a concern bringing Patrick Dangerfield back into the midfield, given the midfield's function so nicely?
You finally asked the question because we have discussed it here.
Yeah, and I asked it in a very polite fashion. I said it was a good problem to have, but is there a concern? And what did he say?
Oh, he basically said he'll spend probably more time forward.
But he also said 100% it's a concern.
Yeah.
So, which means that you're probably right, then Dalhouse is probably in in trouble if Dangerfield has to play predominantly up forward.
Max Holmes will be the other one that would probably
Maxie, no relation.
The other one too is Jordan Clark. He's the unused medical sub. So Geelong can have the potential to run with 23. So somebody will, maybe. There's a chance.
You're right there. So Holmes, Zach Guthrie,
Stanley.
Stanley, yeah.
I'd say Radigalia.
I know I just don't think they're going to drop Radigalia because I think he has
four possessions and eight hit-outs.
Yeah, I know, but he's going to have those games. That's just sort of, that's him at the minute. He's still an inexperienced player.
He took no marks.
I know, but he has...
No marks against a Collingwood defence where you had Moore and Roughhead go to Cameron and Hawkins.
But I just don't think that the mix with Blitzarves, Stanley doing the Radigalia, playing the Asava Radigalia role, which is unlike the Lee Brown role, in which when he goes up in the ruck and then he goes to play forward and Blitzarves goes into the ruck, I just don't see that working for Reece Stanley.
Radigalia is better at that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's go. Okay. So you think Stanley, Holmes,
Zach Guthrie,
and then Dulhouse might be the one that's.
Because Dangerfield is probably going to predominantly play forward.
But tell you who's not getting dropped? Brad Close. He's a lock.
Who's saying these?
Nobody's saying it, but I tell you, he's one bloke that's not going anywhere.
No, he's good.
He's going to be a gun.
He is, yeah. He just needs to get 50 games. What's he playing in games? Play 15?
Yes. On the weekend.
15 or 18?
On the weekend. Less than 20. 17th. Yeah. Was he 16th? Sorry.
Wait till he's got to 50 or 60. Yeah, he is very, very exciting. Mm. He's the bloke that can turn you a game with 10 possessions.
And he's older than you think he is, too.
He's 22 or something, 23. Yeah,
nearly 23.
Yeah. Yeah, they got him as a mature age. Mm. So he wears the long sleeves. No, really, he is very, very good. He thinks quickly. He moves quickly. Reads the game well. And he probably needs to get a little bit stronger and maybe get involved defensively.
We said that about Andrew Mackie in about game 22, he never did.
No, he didn't. Mack refused to get into the gym. But Close probably just needs to maybe sort of get more involved defensively in terms of his using speed defensively. He's very good at using it offensively at the moment.
Be like Gary Rowan. Play those.
He's not going to mark it like Gary. But yeah,
the chase down tackles.
Yeah, all those sorts of things. He probably needs to sort of work on that. But he's, like I said, he's played less than 20 games, so plenty of time for that sort of kibosh to happen.
So they're 8-3.
Yeah.
All going to plan, you're 16-6, and that's top four. But things that, when you start looking at extrapolating numbers like that, you're bound to fail. But they've got the platform, Geelong, and there's no excuse not to finish top four from here, especially because I think they still have five at GMHBA Stadium, the last three of the season. And they've also got Essendon there, and I think one other, if I'm not mistaken. So when you've got five there of your last, I'm just trying to think who they've played there already. They've played Brisbane, Gold Coast, North Melbourne and West Coast. So, yeah, they've got five. They've got Bulldogs, Essendon, and then the last three rounds of the season.
Yeah. So
you would think they're going probably 4-1 at home.
Yeah, don't forecast.
Well, I'm going to forecast.
What you're going to do is, I love it when the forecast is, it always amuses me when they say it's going to be partly sunny with a chance of showers. Is that the biggest 50 cent each way bet you've ever had? You really can't go wrong, can you? Because the sun needs to come out for like 34 seconds.
And it's partly sunny.
Yeah, and then it only needs to rain for like about 4 minutes and you say, well, showers. So it's partly sunny with a chance of showers. That is the most horrific forecast.
Geelong would be disappointed to be. What would be, if from here, what's the worst record Geelong should be?
After 22 rounds. Yep. Geez, I'm no good at this, Gingy.
15-7.
What are they? 8-3. Yeah, I would have thought
14-8.
No, I would have thought 14-8 would be if they're going to win the premiership. Let's put it that way. If they're on a path to winning the premiership,
15-7.
They're 15-7 at a minimum because they're going to beat teams. They're going to win games. Let's put it that way. If they're dropping off the 14-8, I reckon they've been beaten by some better teams and are perhaps not considered at the absolute pointy end of the potential premiership contenders in at the end of round 22.
How big is the month of June for the Cats when you've got Port Adelaide in Adelaide, the Bulldogs at home and Brisbane in Brisbane?
Huge. If 2-1 would be good, competitive in all. If Geelong play quite well, I think we spoke about this. Did we speak about this off air? If Geelong are competitive in all three games and lose and play quite well, that's probably a concern. if they were to go 2-1 and be competitive in the other game and lose it, maybe the Brisbane game or the Port Adelaide game, one of those away games, I reckon that would be a massive tick. If they're 1-2 and in the two games that they lose, they're right in it till the death and things don't go their way, that's a huge tick. So I reckon, and if they were to go 3-0, which I think, geez, you'd have to hazard a guess. Well, I mean, that would be enormous if they were to go 3-0. I probably can't see that happening. But it's just how those 3 weeks unfold. And that's not to say they could be, I just mentioned they're 1-2 and be really competitive. And that would still be, I think, a tick. It's just if the fear is that they play quite well and don't win any of them, that would be, I think, you'd be thinking then maybe they're a bit off the pace.
Yep. Is Tom Hawkins the eighth wonder of the modern world?
He's one of them.
He had 21 possessions. Now, this sort of snuck under the radar. It was his seventh most in a game, but some of the stuff he did defies the fact that he's 198 centimetres.
He's a gun. He's getting better.
Which...
He'll play at least 35 if he wants to.
So you reckon he's got beyond... So he's got a two-year deal till the end of next year. You reckon he goes one more after that?
If he wants to.
If he wants to.
Yeah, he may not want to. He may think, I've had enough of this. But he's durable. He never misses. Mm. He's getting better. He's the way he plays. He doesn't necessarily need to be the fittest bloke in the. Although he's, I mean, if you look at his body shape over the last decade, you know, he's in the best condition he's been in. He seems to be enjoying his footy. He's playing in a competitive team.
Remember when he had those back issues?
Yeah, for that one season.
They seemed like a lifetime ago.
When he was ironing his shirts with a wok. Remember those? He actually did iron his shirts with a wok for a whole year. He couldn't actually bend down to do anything. Mm. And people were writing him off. That was quite weird. But he's one of my favourite players, Kingy. And I reckon if he's mentally in the frame of mind, I wouldn't be surprised. He's the sort of bloke that could get to 350 games for the Cats. Yep. Because I don't think physically anything can happen. You know, let's hope not. But major injury and, okay, things change. But... As the way things are progressing at the minute, I think it's just more the mental side of it for him, whether he wants to keep doing it.
And does he want to stick around too, knowing he's in a partnership with Jeremy Cameron?
Well, that would help, I would have thought, yeah. And I've mentioned this a couple of times, that I think they're a really good mix because they're very different. Mm. They're not similar players, a little bit like Lynch and Riewoldt at Richmond. Mm. They're very different, Cameron and Hawkins. I think that's the way they work, and they'll only get better. Yeah, I've got no doubt that he's thinking, oh, okay, well, yeah, I've got another gun forward here who's going to be in his prime. He's 27, Cameron, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's in his prime, 27, 28, 29, 30. He's 4 years, you know, he's right in the wheelhouse of playing really good footy. King, I've got to change the topic for a second.
You can.
The Cats yesterday, was it yesterday?
Yes.
I don't know if I've seen a bigger misreading of the tea leaves.
Oh, was this the Twitter?
Yeah, but... It's,
about the donations?
Well... Yes, so, but there's the only two tea leaf misreadings that are bigger than this one are when Ming the Merciless.
Who's Ming the Merciless?
Yeah, Ming the Merciless. He looked down into his. He looked down. No, he looked down into his China cup, and he said to his best mate Shane that he was enjoying his Lipton, and in fact, it was a Dilmah. That was an enormous misreading of the tea leaves from Ming. And the other time that there was a serious misreading of the tea leaves was when the Germans decided to invade Russia, World War II. Yeah. Right. Do you know why they got pants? They didn't get pants because the Russians fought back. The winter killed them. Yep. They went out there with basically their Bond singlets, and the Russian winter was absolutely horrific, and the Germans hadn't factored that in, and they all perished in the winter.
Yeah.
So they misread the tea leaves. Geelong yesterday sent out, I don't know if it was on Facebook, because I don't do Facebook.
I only saw it on Twitter.
Wanting people to donate to the football club, telling that it was tax deductible, and something about going to the football department. Further. Did you have a look at few people?
Oh, I saw the reaction. Yeah.
How could you possibly think in the middle of a pandemic, but in the middle of a lockdown 4, I'm not going lockdown 4.0. Why? We've spoken about this. Why is it 4.0? What is it, like a Microsoft update? It's lockdown 4. Stop using kitsch terms 4.0. Like, it's just 4. Why would you set out something saying we need you to donate to a club that is paying players hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? I don't understand. Do you reckon they got it seriously wrong?
Yes.
Did they take it down?
Help keep Geelong strong. All donations go towards our future, our football department. All donations more than $2 are tax deductible. Donate before June 30. Here's some of the responses from Geelong Cat.
Go to our football department?
Yep.
The coach, what do you reckon the coach is getting paid? I thought it was extraordinary. Here we go.
Boxhead 31, regular on K-Rock Footy on the KFC Twitter. Might want to think about the timing of this one, guys. I mean, seriously, who thought this was a good idea at the present moment? Clayton Edwards, though. I think people need to be realistic. Sure, it's a difficult time for everyone. And yes, lots of us buy memberships, which financially help the club, but it doesn't cover all costs. Now games won't be played at GMHBA. Lots of money lost, and without money equals no club. Well, we don't know that there's not going to be games at GMHBA Stadium. I suspect there still will be. The Cats don't play there for another fortnight. Aussie age 10, this is a bit tone deaf. I'm happy to support the club, and not many people are in the right financial or emotional state to do so. Not much in support of the club.
Were there any?
Only that bloke saying about, you know, if there's games taken away from GMHBA, there's a financial impost for the club.
Seriously, the tea leaf misreading there was extraordinary. I just wonder why they've still got that up, to be honest with you. But anyway... Oh, you just got to be better than that.
Yeah, that wasn't. That's a big misread. But you know, they'll have their reasons, and one of them's probably saying, "Well, in a financial year coming up, and people who are looking for a tax deductible donation will be one of the reasons." But yeah, I think wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, King. Yeah. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see whether the backlash with the who are we getting on this week. Oh, we're not on, are we?
We're not on.
Cats have got a bye.
Yeah, and then we're Thursday night, Port Adelaide.
What are you thinking of? Is that game 100% going ahead in Adelaide?
Well, at the moment, Collingwood are going to Adelaide. So it'd be interesting to see what regulations the Cats find themselves having to live under. So Collingwood players, as of last night, went into a bubble at their own home where they were actually told that they couldn't leave the house until they get on the plane on Saturday. But family members weren't allowed to leave the house either. Once a family member left the home to do anything... they weren't getting back inside, so they're under fairly stringent conditions.
And you know, they touch the ball if it comes in your direction.
Wow. That was interesting from the Chief Health Officer.
That was quite South extraordinary, Australia, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's set to come out and somebody else came out today and sort of clarified what the Chief Medical Officer said and said that ball does come in your direction and you do touch it and throw it back, sanitise. They're providing extra sanitiser there. So
if it's such a concern that you think Collingwood players have brought COVID with them, why are you letting them into your state?
Yeah, I
how does touching the football... Oh, please. We are sometimes we're not... We think we're a smart society. I think as we get smarter, we get dumber.
Yeah. But the whole COVID thing, it's all the measures in place to sort of all of this keep us safe. They're so frustrating and confusing that it's hard to follow, hard to take them seriously. I mean, even at the May Carnival, so
down at Warrnambool.
So old mates at the gate, right? So they had two sections. You had
old mate.
Yeah, I don't know what his name was. You had two sections. You could either be in the members or the public, and you couldn't cross over from one section to the other one. So once you're in one, you were there. So that's fine. But the thing that I sort of was not comprehending, King, that was the word I'm for you. I can't comprehend some of these measures that keep us safe, is that old mate on the gate, if I've got COVID right and I'm first in the gate and I've given it to him, what do you reckon he's doing to the other 8,000 people that are going past old mate to get in?
Yeah.
Yet you can't mingle with other people who have already gone past old mate who's got it anyway. And then in the mounting yard, you weren't allowed to have anybody in there simply because it was on camera.
Yeah, it's optics.
Yeah. So, but out the back, there was 40 million blokes having schoolies all over top of each other. Like, it was just ridiculous. It is genuinely ridiculous. And you can't have... people at your home? Is that still not open?
Yeah, we still can't. Yeah, even as of we're Thursday afternoon, but even as of midnight tonight. So,
but I can queue. I went to Sandown yesterday,
yep.
And they had it was a vaccine hub on one side of the course,
right.
And the race is happening on. So there was people there all congregating, waiting to have their. But you know, I don't know.
Question: only one.
Oh, really?
Only one this week.
Oh, wow.
Old Faithful.
Who is it, Daz?
Yep,
he loves it, Daz.
Hope all is well in the quarantine condition. You've touched on this in recent weeks, but with Narkle and Parfitt pulling 60-odd touches last week, will PFD walk right back into a midfield slot? Or no. Will he be at best a midfield forward hybrid for the month he returns?
Well, we spoke on a Desmo, have been having a latte or something. He might have been having a Dilmar too when we spoke. Although he would have been all over the Matty Knights interview. Matty Knights said that he would be playing predominantly playing forward. So he's not a great aerobic player, Patrick Dangerfield. He's a real burst player. So having that injury that he had, the syndesmosis with a lamb corma, he's probably dropped off a little bit in that fitness stake. So he's very much, I think, he'd be a burst player initially up forward. But how that filters in to the forward mix, because the forward mix has been really good. How he works in with Hawkins and Cameron and Rowan and Close. It'll be really interesting. So, and I think they'd really like to keep the midfield how it was predominantly, because it was working quite well. The other thing we have to mention too is that, and I heard this morning and I had to stop the car.
Right.
I was driving to Ballarat at like 5:15. Yeah. The pheasant, the Goombaya Park pheasant is going to be named. Yes. This is not a joke. This is actually happening. They're going to name it.
I reckon it's got a second life as a result of our coverage.
Well, I don't know, but
I don't believe in coincidences.
I was listening to another station this morning, and I heard them say Goombaya Park.
Yeah. I think it's called pronounced Goombaya Park.
Oh, he said Goombaya, and I'm going with Goombaya because I used to be an ad Goombaya Park.
I think it's Goombaya.
Anyway, Goombaya, whatever it is, right? It's a park. So he goes Goombaya Park. I thought, hang on, and then he goes the pheasant. They just stopped the car. He said it's going to be named. It's going to have a name. So I don't know what the name is, but I'm very, very excited. Paul? Paul the pheasant.
What? Actually, I would have thought Phil.
Phil the pheasant. Anyway, it's going to have names. So the man who blew its tail up from Poo Wong, I'm sure he'll be very, very, if he's out of the clink, he's timed it with his out on bail sort of arrangement. Do you reckon?
I don't know.
Anyway, look, I'm not actually joking about that. That is actually 100% correct, so... We'll be interested. I am one of the most interested onlookers to discover the name of the giant concrete pheasant at Goombaya Park.
Interesting. How good is Tom Stewart honouring the 44 like the bloke before him? I know the 21 had a great run of success from Mansfield to Mooney, but Boris Stewart is going to be a great one too.
Mm. God help the next bloke who gets 44.
Yeah.
He'd want to be pretty good.
Yeah, he would be.
He's good, Stewart.
It's 44 is one of those numbers that sort of just got allocated to the bloke at the back of the room. Now it's actually Geelong.
And that bloke was Corey Enright.
Yeah. Look how the bloke in the back of the room became.
Yeah. I mean, even Cameron Ling with 45.
Mm.
Blitzar's 46.
Yep.
But yeah, Stewart. What's Stewart now, 28?
Yes.
Yeah. Played
96.
Yeah, he'll move to 100. He's 100 soon, yeah. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that he's probably 3 years. Do you reckon he'll get to 200 games?
Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he came in late too. Remember, so you sort of got to factor in that when blokes come into the system a little bit later, they probably prolong their career into their 30s.
Yeah, maybe. He'd need to make every post a winner though, wouldn't he? He'd take him through to 32. He would not have any major injuries.
So, from here, so you think he finishes this year at about
110-ish,
and then he needs 4 full years.
Yeah.
No injuries. And he's been fairly durable.
Yeah. It's a big ask, though, 4 full years.
But if he got to, I reckon 200's a great reward. Even if he got to 180.
Oh, from where he's come from. Yeah, it'd be enormous.
It was quite funny. I was just doing some research and having a look at somebody else's career locally, but found... Tom Stewart, part of an under-18 grand final team at South Barwon in about 2010.
Yeah, right.
When he was, I think he'd been to the Falcons, but it wasn't for him. And, he's applying his trade. And, hard to believe that, 5 years later or 6 years later, he's on an AFL list and he's one of the best defenders in the competition.
Joey's product?
No. Hmm. Oh, yes, he did go to Joey's. Sorry, I lie. Yeah, sorry, he did go to St. Joey's.
Briefly.
A couple of years. You need to go to Joey's. Yeah. We're not going to see you next week because you won't be able to do the podcast.
No, I can't. I've got other commitments. Right. So,
but we'll see you Thursday night in Adelaide.
Yes, really looking forward to that game. Mm-hmm. Next 3 weeks is really exciting.
You're going to go to karaoke in Adelaide?
Probably not. Not after the last time we went to karaoke and. At approximately 3:37 in the morning, as I was refreshing quite sort of wildly, And this happened. So this bar was next to where we were staying. And I was in there with Kent Kingsley, who'd done the game. And the bar was, the only way I could describe it was like the bar in Star Wars in The Empire Strikes Back when Han Solo, they go into that bar and there's those dodgy characters everywhere. It was like that. So it was a little bar. It was a karaoke bar. And at 3:37, a man got up and started belting out. And I can't even remember the song because I was so, I was so taken aback what was happening, what was unfolding. I can't remember the song he was singing, but he just derobed. And he sang the song in front of probably 100 people.
Nude.
Without a stitch on. And the bouncers didn't, they didn't do anything. They just escorted him off. They let him finish his song. And then they just said, oh, you know, you need to get your clothes, get your kit back on and get back. And he just put his clothes back on and went back to the bar. It was one of the most extraordinary things I have ever seen. And I'm tipping that karaoke bar is still goes. And if you're ever over, I can't remember what street it's in, but if you ever want to have a really quirky night out, you want to get there and just try and keep your kit on. This bloke, it was unbelievable. You imagine you did that now?
Yeah, all sorts of trouble.
The bouncers, they didn't flinch. They were like, oh, he must do it every week, this bloke. Anyway, I asked Ken if he wanted to, if he'd just be happy to get up there and sing a bit of Kay Sand while he was in the buff. He wasn't keen.
Well, Benny, see you next week.
Rightio.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au.